Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, I'm reflecting on those ghastly terrorist attacks in Moscow a few days ago when at Crocus City Hall, some gunmen burst in, supposedly four of them, and they've killed about 140 people. Unfortunately, even more people probably succumbed to their injuries who are in hospital right now. So bear in mind, the United States Embassy and the British Embassy in Moscow had warned, I think on the 7th of March, about, is it 18 days, 16 days, sorry, before this incident, that they warned their citizens to stay off the streets. They thought it was going to be a major, so they so-called extremist incident, and they tipped off the Russian government. Of course, the Kremlin poo-pooed it and said, and if there is any terrorist attack, it'll be the USA and the United Kingdom orchestrating it, which is obviously a foul slur. Why on earth would you give the Russians a warning if you thought this kind of thing was going to happen? Now, this is the most surveilled city on earth, just about. But there were no heightened security measures because, you know, if you're a counter-terrorist police, you think, well, what are the obvious targets? They want to kill as many people as possible with a bomb, with a baby shooting incident. Where are large gatherings? Stadia, airports, concert halls is a very obvious one. Now, there are already routine screenings of bags at railway stations, you know, going through the metal detector, sometimes at metro stations. But, you know, in a city of 14 million people, you cannot check every single passenger on every single train, on every single bus, and so forth. Anyway, so there was obviously routine screening of people entering Crocus City Hall, and I've been into it. It's a large venue for concerts, Miss World that Trump was behind, anything like that, you know, sales, whatever, trade fairs, things like that. So the gunman simply didn't go through the security. They just opened fire, shot dead the security men, ran in and killed loads more people. So four Tajik suspects have been arrested. These men allegedly fled in a car towards the Ukrainian border, which has led Putin to try and exploit it and claim that Ukraine somehow perpetrated this, which Volodymyr Zelensky and his team have repeatedly and vehemently denied. Certainly has the ring of truth to me. I mean, look at somebody's face. I know that's not proof positive, but they're not giving any of the tales of lying, which Putin so often does. Now, why would they do this? They're already at war with Russia, and when they attack into Russia, they usually acknowledge it. Yes, it was us. We blew up that oil refinery. So on these Russian dissidents crossed the border, this incursion by us, were bombarding Belgorod region, and they've killed a few civilians. They acknowledge that. They say not deliberately, and I believe them, but, you know, I can't rule out that some Ukrainians be so incensed by the murder of their own civilians, they might perpetrate the same crime. Because all this would do is Putin say, well, the gloves are coming off. I mean, even more than they already are off. Of course, his forces have perpetrated several large-scale atrocities in Ukraine, the Bucha massacre, and so on, deliberately bombing a civilian, housing hundreds of civilians, and on and on and on. Horrific tortures against Ukrainian prisoners of war, the kidnapping of thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of children, and so on. So, but even if Ukraine was completely unconnected to this, not surprised that the Tajiks fled towards the Ukrainian border, where would you flee? You want to go to a country that's never going to hand you over, so try and cross over. You say, but it's a war zone. I know, but you're probably safer there than you are on the other side of it. Anyway, you can't stay in Russia, certainly. And so these men have appeared in court, look like being severely beaten up. And there would be some permissible use of force in apprehending people. But the Russian security forces have a gruesome reputation for horrendous tortures, obviously hitting people on very soft parts of the body, stress positions for hours, electric shocks, and so on. It's very, very well documented by Amnesty International, by Human Rights Watch, and so on, by various Russian NGOs, which now see as labeled so-called extremists and foreign agents for telling the truth, for trying to uphold the constitutional rights of Russian citizens, rights that Russia's own law guarantees to them. And obviously the Russian state violates on an enormous scale every single day. And there was one video, I'm not sure of its authenticity, of one of these suspects being forced to eat his own ear. So they will certainly have an unfair trial, which doesn't prove that they are innocent. I mean, obviously you can't prove innocence in a trial, usually can't prove a negative. But they will just be performatively tried. So this will be some judicial theater, largely. You see how they're brought in the airplane position, arms twisted around their back with their heads down, which is obviously a violation of their dignity. In any free country that have a cast iron case for damages, the way they've been publicly humiliated, even if they are guilty of 140 million people, they're still entitled to a fair trial and humane treatment. You know, if people are guilty of this crime, I wouldn't object to them serving life imprisonment without any possibility of parole. And conditions in Russian prisons, even for people who commit misdemeanors, are ghastly. So, Putin said nothing for about 16 hours and has trying to be able to milk it for the maximum. But what a humiliation, what a failure for Mr. Security, who's just re-elected on the basis he was making Russia safer. Look how unsafe he's made it. There are genuine threats to Russia, which he's disregarded and put so much of his resources and time into starting this illegal war of aggression against Ukraine. And you've never seen so many police as you have in Moscow, as well as at various other law enforcement agencies, Rosgvardia. And there are security guards everywhere, even in McDonald's, in case you steal chips. And they couldn't stop something like this. So people are just less vigilant. Somebody else's problem, they've really got no initiative. So there's been supposedly a spate of racialism against Tajiks. Tajikistan is a poverty-stricken erstwhile Soviet Republic in Central Asia. They speak a language which is very closely related to Persian. They are Muslims almost without exception. So the Tajik government is a dictatorship which is very cozy with Russia, part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, part of the Commonwealth of Independent States, the Eurasian Economic Union, and so on. So it's only about 7 million people. It's got hundreds of thousands of its citizens who are guest workers in Russia, and remittances from them are vital to the Tajik economy. So it's a brutal regime in Tajikistan. It's also an exploitative regime. So most people live in dire penury, even worse than in Russia. So unfortunately, they face quite a lot of racism in Russia. I'm not saying that every indigenous Russian is racist towards them, no, maybe not even most, but it is considerable. And I've heard even quite intelligent Russians who spent some years abroad, you think might be more humane, say the most ghastly things, be bigoted towards Tajiks. They're going to make it even worse. They're going to be scapegoated. Even if these men are guilty, that's four people. Not every single Tajik in Russia is guilty of this. But anyway, there've been some talk in the State Duma about more restrictions on immigration. Obviously, Russia desperately needs immigration because of this demographic time bomb. And the people have been questioned for hours at the airport. They're often racially profiled by the police, stop and search, ask for their passports. And you're legally asked, obliged to carry your passport at all times in Russia, whatever your nationality. They've got internal passports as well as international ones. We call the internal one an ID card. But anyway, this often picks out people who are actually Russian citizens, who are indigenous ethnic minorities, Yakuts or Kalmyks or whatever, Chukchis from the Russian Far East. Tuvans, people who might be mistaken for citizens of Central Asia, or even Tajiks or naturalized Russians. So they find it difficult to rent a place. I mean, I found it difficult to rent a place as an Irishman in Moscow, and their ads for playing Slavs only, as in Russians, Belarusians, maybe Serbians, something like that, can rent a room. So frank racialism is unfortunately quite widespread. So relations will be pretty bad. I mean, the Kyrgyz embassy has advised people not to travel to Russia unless absolutely unavoidable, to stay off the streets because of possible racist incidents. Remember in 2013, an Azerbaijani supposedly murdered someone in Russia, and then the suspect was arrested sitting on a bench in a park. Then he was handcuffed to a FSB agent who's about 7 foot tall, wearing a balaclava, and brought off to court. So goodness, did Putin want this to happen? Because why did he take no preventative measures? Obviously, you couldn't guarantee that it wasn't going to happen. But maybe he considers this useful. I wouldn't put it past him. We know he's done these things before. In 1999, the apartment block bombings, several hundred of his own citizens murdered by him in order to justify this new attack on Chechnya. So it's all terrible. Obviously, I commiserate those the families of those who are killed, and their friends of those who are killed, people who have been injured, and so on. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. Barbarous though the Putin regime is, that's not the fault of ordinary Russians, who really have no say in the running of their own country. And I don't dispute that he has at least a considerable minority of Russians on his side. Anyway, thank you so much for watching this channel. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Toodle pip, everybody. Peace out. Keep it real.